Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
You know that, right? Good. Today is the first day of the Christian New Year. However, have any of you made a resolution? No, me neither. We don't do that when it comes to our New Year. Instead, we are expected to stay awake and be ready. That's what all of the readings talk about this morning. To be awake and to be ready. The other morning at about 5:36, I had a text from a friend, obviously a very good friend, that said, "Happy blue Advent sky to you this morning." They were out and about, and it was indeed the color that we celebrate at this time of year. We stand in Advent where we are expected to wait, to stand in the place in between what we have experienced and what we anticipate. We're not very good at waiting. We are an impatient society filled with fast food, instant messaging, and view on demand. Just those phrases alone are relatively new in our world, and they indicate that we want what we want now, or if even possible, sooner than that. But perhaps it makes a difference, depending on whether we're waiting for something good or something bad. Maybe then we want it to take its time. When I was a young child, my grandmother lived with us, and I was 9 when she died, and she'd been a very important part of our lives. My brother Ralph, who is 13 years older than I am, was home at the time. And my brother Doug, we were waiting for him. He's even older than Ralph, and we were waiting for him to come home. And in the midst of that, we were dreading the funeral. Now, Ralph was always there on time, or even early. Doug was always the one about whom my mother said, "Beth, you'll see him when you see him." He'd say he'd be home Friday at 5, and he might get home on Friday, if we were lucky. In those days, there were no cell phones, and I doubt that Doug would have used it anyway if he'd had one, to let us know that his train was late. And so I sat in the car with my brother Ralph at the train station, waiting for Doug. And eventually Ralph, always the tease in the family, said, "I guess Doug's not coming," and made to start the car to drive home. His sister became hysterical. I cried and pleaded with him not to go. "We had to wait longer. Please, Ralph, please." He had no idea what he had done. Later, I found out, like we're talking 15 years ago, Ralph said to me, "You always loved Doug more than me." I was so astonished. And then I remembered the story. And I remembered that Ralph never experienced me waiting for him. He was always there on time. And when he was coming, he didn't know that this little girl was bouncing around with excitement waiting for him to come home, because he was the brother who would pick me up and throw me around and wrestle with me. And it was always full on when Ralph got there. But he didn't know how I waited for him. What he did see was me always waiting for Doug, staring out the window, waiting for him to come. And I would be quiet, not bouncing around, because it was obvious that I was sad and longing to see my oldest brother. So Ralph only experienced me waiting for Doug. Gave me insight into the idea about waiting, let alone my family dynamics. Often, while we're waiting, what we're waiting for is not as important as how we wait during the routine of our life. If we're left to our own devices, we can get very anxious or sad or excited or out of control or competitive like maybe a brother or two. But here in Advent, we're called to do four things. Well, really one thing in four ways. We're called to wait in hope, in peace, in joy, in love. We're to wait with the mystery and the promise of the extraordinary presence of God. Now, you all know what that moment of true waiting is like, the one that we're expected to hold at this time. You know when you're at a concert, and the lights, everyone beforehand is talking. It's kind of like a church service, really. Everybody's talking, saying hi. You're talking to your neighbor. You're rustling your pamphlet. You're looking at who's going to sing. All of those things. And then the lights start to dim. And the orchestra's done tuning their instruments. And the conductor walks out. And there's applause. And then there's silence. And as they raise their baton, everyone's waiting for just that moment. Or in the silence of a midwinter afternoon, a dusk when you're out for a walk. And there's a funny sound, some sound that kind of happens way off, so faint, that it can only be sort of the sound of silence, and you stop. And you hold your breath, and you listen. Or when you walk up the steps to your front door, and the windows on the side of your door, they're empty, they don't tell you anything, and you're about to open the door, and you catch a whiff in the air of some fragrance or smell that reminds you of a place you've never been, but you've got no words for it, and you pause before you open your door. In all of those instances of waiting, you can hear your heartbeat as you hold your breath. The extraordinary thing is that what's about to happen is matched only by the extraordinary moment before it happens. Advent is the name of that moment. It's really hard to stay there, because we can't actually stay in that amazing, wondrous place for too long. It's too hard. That's why we live in community. Why we have other friends to help us stay sane while we're waiting. When one of my friends was taking a degree in leadership and training at Royal Roads University in Victoria, they were there for 2 years. Well, they weren't really there. They were all professionals. There's about 24 people in the course. And they all were in their mid-adulthood and all had high-level professions. And they were all waiting to see where this course would take them. And when they first met, one of their first tasks as a group was to set a dream. A dream for the group together, which is hard enough in itself for 24 individual adults. And once they set the dream, a person was assigned a month for the next 24 months. And their job was to be the dream keeper. So during their month, they were to do things to keep the common dream alive. So 1 month, probably some wonderful person who is very good at home things made cookies every day and brought them in just to keep them enthused about that part of their dream. Another month, someone might send a quick inspirational quote on email every day during that month. But for 24 months, no matter how despairing they were about how it was going or not going, no matter what their situation, someone was keeping their dream alive. That's communal hope. The church is a community of hope and responsibility in the world. It is our responsibility to be dream keepers. It is our job to hold the peace, the hope, the joy, and the love of Advent for the world. The hope of God coming into our midst as God once has done already. When Jesus came, not as the lovely sanitized baby we'll see, but as an infant in us in a horrible situation, and grew up and lived and worked and breathed and celebrated with those around him who were not the wealthy. What he made known to us was that God is a friend, a healer, a companion. And in dying and being raised, offered us a dream. A dream that we can be more than we are. There's more to the human story, because God has already experienced it for us already and has gone before us. Now, while we wait, we want answers always. But Henry Nouwen was known to say, "Answers before questions do damage to the soul." Answers before questions do damage to the soul. God gives us just enough of the future to give us hope, but not so much that we can't walk by faith every day. We need to have the assurance that there are things hoped for, but the conviction about the things that we can't see and the inspiration to get there. We just don't have a timetable. And so each day could be our last. We all know that. But we don't live that way. But we really can't afford to postpone fulfilling our commitments to be the people that we aspire to be, not just individually, but as a church community. We can't afford not to wait, in the sense that we hold our breath, that we listen, that we hear our hearts beat, and take the pulse of what's around us, and then respond. That kind of waiting is holy waiting. That kind of waiting we never have to do alone. And that kind of waiting is holding peace, hope, joy, and love for all of those in the world who so badly need to hear it. May you be blessed in your waiting. Amen.